Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 15. We've been looking at the two lives here. One of verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The life of two individuals here, one of the fool, the other of the prudent. And then this morning, we looked at what I felt was very important for us to see, and that is an examination of one's own self in light of the Scripture, and how that we should always come under the preaching of the Word, not merely to store up or to receive knowledge, not merely to get more information, but that there might be an effect of the Word upon my life. And that when a sin is pointed out in my life, that sin would be repented of. And I made mention how that it's very much like going to the doctor. And when you go to the doctor, you go to the doctor to generally because you have something wrong with you or for a physical, and it's generally to find out something that is not visible to you, something that you don't know what's wrong, something that can't be seen. There's something wrong with you, but you don't know what it is. And the doctor will through various means find out what it is that's wrong with you. And the example was given, that of cancer or a heart disease. And if the doctor tells us that we have a cancer, we're not going to go out the door shaking the doctor's hand and with a smile on our face and thanking him for that information. Thank you, doctor, for letting me know that I have cancer. I feel so much better now. That would be so ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And yet, oftentimes we come and sit under the preaching of the Word and we go out in the same way. We have our sins, which are hidden in our heart, brought up and out and presented to us, which is much more odious than cancer, because it affects the soul, not merely the body, but the soul. And then to go out and say, thank you so much for that message. That was very good. And then just go our merry way and forget about it. It would be, the parallel is without question so easily understood. We wouldn't do that in the physical realm, and neither should we do it in the spiritual realm. When the Word of God comes at us that way, and many times we don't like it. We don't like what we hear. We don't want to hear it. Just as Jesus, as we read tonight in John chapter 5. These people didn't like, they were going to sit under John's ministry for a season. For a season. Not continually. Because sooner or later, it was going to become too uncomfortable for them. So just turn back with me. I just want to look at this a little bit further. Mark chapter 10. This is all preparatory for what we are The story is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 27. You have this young man that comes to Jesus I'm just summarizing now. He comes to Jesus. He's running to Jesus. Verse 17. He kneels down to Him. He's very respectful of the Lord. He calls Him good master. By all intents and purposes, by all of His outward characteristics, He would appear to be an exemplary man of God. And yet He is again standing before the Lord of glory, who is going to read His heart and can read right beyond all of those, all of the things that the camouflage that He may put up. And it's interesting, and I remember years and years ago Pastor Bell preaching on this passage, and the focus was on verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding Him, loved Him. He loved Him. Now that does not mean that He loved Him in a saving way. He loved His soul. He loved Him enough to tell Him the truth. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow Me. And He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for He had great possessions. Now, after all of this has taken place, this man has left. And Jesus looked round about and saith to His disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And to make it more plain to them, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And this actually had to do with a camel being loaded down with a burden, passing through a very narrow passageway, and the camel would have to have the burden taken off before it could pass through. It could not be any other way. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If this is the case, Lord, who can be saved? They were astonished at the Lord's answer to this young man, because by all appearances, he appeared to be someone to be looked up to. And here the Lord just levels him, so to speak. And so they're twice over it's mentioned that they are astonished, this time out of measure, beyond comprehension. Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Because this young man, in his answering of the questions Jesus was posing to him, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, verse 19, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, Master, all these things have I done from my youth up. Don't worry about me, Lord. I've done all those things. It's all about himself. And Jesus is making it very clear here. It's not about oneself. You don't save yourself through your works and through your self-righteousness. It is with God. So the interesting thing here is also that His disciples did not leave Him. They may have been astonished at His doctrine. They may have been astonished at His straightforwardness and His directness with this young man. But they didn't leave Him. So now moving back to Proverbs 15, and in all of this, what was it? One of the questions that Jesus was posing to this young man. Do you know the commandments? Speaks of adultery, of murder, of stealing, of bearing false witness, of defrauding. Honor thy father and thy mother. Back to Proverbs 15. 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So in a previous message, we looked at the characteristics of the fool and of his despising his father's instruction. He was an atheist. He is a slanderer. He mocks at sin. He's meddlesome. He's self-confident. And he's a hypocrite. So now the question comes, how does he despise and dishonor his parents? How does he do that? How does the fool despise and dishonor his parents' instruction? Deuteronomy 21:20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Stubbornness. The child despises and dishonors his parents through stubbornness. The children that forget their duty have no one to thank but themselves and no one to blame but themselves and not their parents if they are regarded with less and less affection. They also despise and dishonor their parents through a lack of respect. Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say Amen. That means that cursed is going to be that child that treats his parents with contempt to show a contempt of your parents is a sin, and it fell under the sentence of the magistrate, and the child that treated his parents with contempt must be put to death. But to make light of one's parents is something that is done in the heart and was a thing which the
the magistrate could not see. But while the magistrate could not see it, God could see it. And it still brought upon that child the curse of God. Despising and dishonoring one's parents through stubbornness and a lack of respect. And in the third place, despising their mother. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Again, the contrast. A parent's brightest joy and their most bitter sorrow come by the actions of their children. That's an incredible statement, but it's so true, and any parent knows it to be true. A child can bring the greatest joy to one's parents that is imaginable. And a child can also bring the most bitter sorrow upon his parents by their actions. Both by their actions. Just like I have often said, we are either encouragers or discouragers. And in the light of a child to the parent, a child is either encouraging one's parents or discouraging their parents. The law of God commands honor and reverence. And the transgression of this law will not be forgotten. And we read it every Sabbath morning. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother. In the fourth place, strife in the household. Micah chapter 7. And verse 6. Micah 7:6. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house. What the prophet is saying here is that the son treated his father with reproach. The daughter had no respect for her mother or her mother-in-law. And so in that particular case, we're talking about grown children. Not just children still at home. And in short, all had forgotten natural affection. And one's enemies were no further away than his own family members. Strife in the household. A horrible thing. A horrible thing to hear a family fighting and arguing. I think it's one of the most horrible things. Disobedience. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. One of the things that we can see here is the hardness or danger of this time. And in Paul's view, And I made mention of this once before. In his view, it wasn't war. It wasn't famine. It wasn't disease. It wasn't all of the other calamities that would be coming about and that would befall the body. But it was the wicked and depraved ways of men. This know that in the last days, so says Paul, perilous times shall come. See, men are so concerned about the global warming and everything else, and it's like trying to deal with a hangnail when your leg has been cut off. And you're trying to stop this little drop of blood up here while you're bleeding to death. And they can't see the real problem. They're always addressing something that they think the problem is, because they despise the Word of God. Oh, that's foolishness. That's ridiculous. I know what's wrong. Well, we know better. What would Paul say today? Would he say that it is global warming? Would he say that it's the price of fuel? Would he say that food prices are going up? That the stock market's going down? Or would he say the very same thing that he says in the Word right here? It would be no different, because we are closer to those last times now than we were when these words were penned. So they're even more true now, if that is even possible for something to be more true. That pretty much brings to a conclusion of the study of the first part of our verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And I think we'll look at the second part at our next meeting. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, as the things that we have looked at regarding the child that despises his father's instruction, we pray, Lord, for each and every child in this assembly in particular. We pray, Lord, that you would cause them to take these things to heart, and that as we were instructed this morning, if there have been areas that have come to light that need correction, the correction of your word is called repentance. We pray, Lord, that peradventure you would grant repentance and conversion and faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.